But if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 8. And anybody feel tired or a little battle-worn? oh, yes, the children could be dismissed at this time. My wife was motioning to me, and I had no idea what she was talking about. anybody feel a little battle-weary or scarred or tired or under it or under the weather? All of the above. It's not funny, but it's kind of creates a little bit of a chuckle in me that we've arrived at the destination we've arrived at this point of the series. And I know why, and you'll know why here momentarily, why it's kind of interesting that we are under the battles that we are having in our bodies and such. As we have arrived at this point of the journey of defeating the schemes of the enemy, because there's something going on, as you'll see in a moment. But before we get there, and again, we're in Luke chapter 8, the superhero industry has made millions of dollars, billions probably, with all the, have you ever been surprised at how many parts you can have to a movie series? Such and such movie, the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 12th movie of a particular genre. But it's because it sells. There's an interest in superheroes. And I just wanted to find out who Bethel's favorite superhero was today. So I'm going to do a quick poll. And I know Alma's going to be all over this. This is her favorite thing, is superhero movies. You didn't know that about her. But I'm going to name a few superheroes, and then I'm going to ask which one of these is our favorite as Bethel. There's Aquaman, there's Batman, there's Captain America, there's The Flash, there's Iron Man, Superman, Spider-Man, and Wonder Woman. So show of hands, favorite superhero, Aquaman. I thought he would be at the bottom. Batman. Got a few hands. How about Captain America? All right, got a few. The Flash, a couple. All right, some of you are raising hands for more than one of these. It's not how the poll works. Rigged election here. Iron Man. Yeah, not really. Superman. All right. And Spider-Man. Wonder Woman. Ah, I was going to declare my favorite as the winner, but I think Wonder Woman might have just carried the day there at the end. How about there's Marvel versus DC? Anybody familiar with that? Some of them are from Marvel, some of them are from DC. Who is a DC person? All right, I got Abby enthusiastically raising her hand. How about, what was that I just did, DC? I just did DC? All right, so Marvel. Who's a Marvel? All right, Marvel wins the day. I see the enthusiasm over this superhero thing. But there's a reason why they make a lot of money on superheroes. And that's because deep within our heart, there is a craving to be a hero, to some extent. Maybe not all of you were like me. When I was 12 years old, I fantasized about creating a bat cave and becoming the next Batman, which, could you imagine if anybody ever tried to venture out and do that and fall flat on their face, especially with flabby arms like mine? Toothpick arms, that is. In our hearts, we have a craving to be something, something of significance, to make some kind of an impact on people, to accomplish something. And yet, very few people become heroic figures, become figures who accomplish things of significance. And there's a reason why. And the reason why is linked to this battle with the enemy. The reason why is linked to what some of us have been wrestling with lately. That is, there is a certain factor here that's needed to win the war. And as we find ourselves going through this series and we learned about how we can succeed against the enemy and we can accomplish certain things, sometimes when we start to win a few battles, we think that now we're going to win every battle. Sometimes when we have a few good days, we think that all the days are going to be good from here on out. And then when we encounter the trials and the tribulations, we're a little bit surprised by that. And our behavior shows that we don't anticipate at times trials and tribulations when we throw our hands up in despair, when we experience hardships and difficulties. But they're ahead of us. They're there. They're real. And yet, as we've learned in this journey, we can win some of the battles. Like we talked about how we have authority over the enemy, that we don't have to put up with his garbage. We can put him in his place. We've learned that he brings about deception to make us think that we're heading towards a good thing when in reality we're heading towards destruction. And he can deceive us. We have to be aware of that deception so we don't fall prey to those things. We've learned to practice preventatives, that there are certain things we need to put in our lives so that we don't fall into those heartaches and such. We learned about how the enemy has a target on relationships, that he wants to disrupt those things. And so we've gained a commitment there to stick with people. And again, if you missed them, they're on the website. You can listen to them or review them. But today's not a message of I can now control all my circumstances, as maybe some of those previous messages could have possibly given us the impression. Because we would love to be able to control our circumstances. In fact, sometimes we fight very hard to try to control our circumstances. But the reality is, and if you've lived long enough, you know that you're going to lose some of the battles. You're not going to win them all. You're not. You're going to fall into temptation at times, fail God. You're going to find yourself sick, or your body failing you at times. You're going to find yourself in the pit of despair at times. You're going to find yourself on the wrong end of something in a relationship. They're going to come. Jesus said, in this world you will have trials and tribulations. And so we need to have a factor here that makes us able to win the battle, because we see people do some of the things we've learned so far in this journey, and they start to win and they start to get some victories, but the moment things get difficult, we bail. And God doesn't want us to be in that place, because if you're going to bail the moment things get hard, you're going to bail. At some point, you will bail, because at some point, it will get hard. If you're married, you have found out, people say the honeymoon period comes to an end at some point. I still haven't gotten to that point yet, but waiting for it. but they say the honeymoon period goes because with everything, you experience a problem at some point. That brand new car that you got that you thought was great, at some point it starts to fall apart. When we're younger, we think our bodies are invincible until we reach 30, 40, 50, whatever age, and it starts to 65. Some of us are saying our age through our teeth. But we face hardships and difficulties. And as much as we would love all the messages that say how to prevent all the heartaches, now once they come, how do I now continue to win? And about 11 years ago, 2007, the New England Patriots, as much as we love the New England Patriots, if we're honest with ourselves, the 2007 New England Patriots are probably one of the greatest teams in NFL history. Because when they extended the season to 16 games in the regular season, prior to that season, there had never been a team that had been able to go 16-0. And there never has been a team since then that has been able to go 16-0. They also won the two playoff games it took to get to the Super Bowl. So they had 18 battles prior to the Super Bowl, and they won every one of them. There was no doubt in people's minds that it was an impossibility for them to lose the Super Bowl. There was no way, because they had won all their battles. But they didn't win the war. When they went into the Super Bowl, they lost that Super Bowl, as close as of a game that was. They lost that battle. And that was the one battle that made them lose the whole thing. Because that tarnished the whole record. No longer is someone going to go back and say, man, that 2007 Patriots team, they were undefeated through the whole season. No, they lost the Super Bowl. That's what people remember. And we can win the battle when it comes to not being deceived. We can know the truth of God's word and not be deceived. We can win the battle of having a good prayer life and study life in the word and be consistently involved in the church and those sort of things. We can find ourselves living a righteous life. We can find ourselves taking it to the enemy to some extent, focusing on eternity. But if we don't win the war, what does it matter that we won the battle? And so we've done all the previous steps to get to this last point of how do I get to a place that I realize the potential, the heroic potential that God has put within me. God has a hero's destiny for you if only we can walk in that power and in that victory. But it's more than just avoiding the problems. It's actually walking through them. Having this endurance. That's why Jesus said that it is he who endures till the end that will be saved. Not those who conjured up a bunch of stuff. That's why at the judgment day, there will be people that will stand before God and say, we healed people, we cast out demons, we did all kinds of amazing things, God. Why are we not going in? Because they didn't endure until the end. It's those who will just keep on fighting and keep on going. But what is it that we're enduring in? What is it that we're supposed to be seeking? Well, Jesus said that we are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. If we have this obsessive focus on doing the work of the kingdom of God and nothing can thwart us, nothing can stop us, we're going to keep going after that. If we have this kind of endurance, we're going to win the war. Don't you want to win the war? Are you tired of just winning one battle at a time? Don't you want to win the war? But that means you're going to have to be okay with losing sometimes. Because you know what? That stinks. 2 years before that 2007 Patriots team, there was a team in a smaller city that lost six of their 16 battles. They were 10-6. They were lowest ranked seed in all of the playoffs. They were the sixth seed out of six, and yet they won. They even beat a Peyton Manning team that was like off the charts as far as offensive scoring. You know which team that was? Anybody remember who won that Super Bowl? The Pittsburgh Steelers. They were the lowest seed, but won. Because they went in, didn't matter that they had lost some of the battles, they won the war. And we need to be in a place that we win the war. But how do we get that? How do we get that kind of endurance? Well, we can get that by learning the lessons of what to commit to in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, this is where Jesus explains the parable of the sower. And we're going to start at verse 9. Verse 9, he says this, "And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand.'" Verse 11. "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." Verse 13. "And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away." Verse 14. "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." So four commitments that are made in this passage that generate an endurance that lasts until the end. The first one is this, a commitment to the word that brings motivation. Again, verse 12 says that the one who is along the path has heard the word, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe. Some people believe that this book is the book of shame. This is the guilt book. This is the make you feel bad about yourself kind of book. And while there is conviction found in this book, and there is a realization of, whoa, okay, I'm really far from what I should be, this was not meant to beat you down. You've heard people use the word Bible thumpers. You're one of those Bible thumpers. This was not meant to be the book that beats you over the head. This is the book of life. This has meant that when I read it, I feel inspired. I feel like I realize my destiny. I realize what God has called me to do. I realize what God has empowered me to do. I realize what I can accomplish, not because of me, but because what this says is living within me, what is available to me. This is supposed to edify me and strengthen me and build me up. But many times we find ourselves not in it, not studying it, not living according to this book. Because listen, the reason why some of us don't have the endurance, the reason why some of us don't have the motivation, because listen, when you read this book, you find, did you see in that parable, it said to you it has been revealed the secrets that other people don't know because they're only hearing it in parables? The secrets are right in here. All the insights you need to tackle your relationship problems, to tackle, I mean, there's stuff in here even about financial issues and the physical aspect of your marriage relationship. I mean, there's stuff in here about but what you view with your eyes. I mean, there's so much stuff in here to give you insight on how to live. This gives life. And we have to be in this, because if we're not in this, we're not going to have the endurance to stick through it. And you know who wants to take this out? Who was there to take it out? Satan came along and took away the word. And so we have to make sure we're in this book. Isn't it amazing how often this surfaces into our messages? That this is so vital, so essential, because this, again, is the book of life. We have to seek it on a constant basis. Do you want to realize your hero destiny? Not that you want to become Batman or Wonder Woman, but because you want to be able to win the war. But we won't win the war if we don't find this conviction, this endurance, this commitment to the word. Commitment despite challenges that brings stamina. Verse 13 says, "And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away." These are the people who expect life to be a bed of roses. And in reality, we often do that with a number of issues within our lives. We're willing to go ahead and try at something until it gets hard, until it gets difficult, until I fail at it sometime, and then I'm going to bail. I must not be cut out for this. I must not be good at that, so I'm going to just stop doing that. And there's some of us have faced temptations in life that we tried to overcome, and then we come to a point where we fail, and so we decide, well, I can't get out of this. Or some of you have tried to install a devotional life within your life, and you've read it for a few days in a row, and then you have a day that you miss it, and you say, well, I must not be a devotional type person because I failed on one day. Or you tried to get involved in ministry, or the enemy, he's going to come along and create any kind of obstacle for you to pursue what God is calling you to pursue. And so when you wake up in the morning on a Sunday morning and you're thinking about coming to church, the enemy's going to do anything to create obstacles to get you from coming and being involved in the body of Christ. If there's somebody in your life who is a source of encouragement and strength for you in Christ, and you need to reach out to the person, the enemy is going to do all kinds of things to prevent you to go and reach out to that person. Because he knows what will bring strength, and he's going to make it hard and difficult, and we're going to not do it because we don't want to do the hard things. So many people don't want to do the hard things. That's why a lot of people don't end up doing foster care, because it's a hard thing to do. And people don't do it because it's difficult. If everybody decided not to do stuff because it was difficult, what would ever get done? Nothing would ever get done. And so we have to decide that, you know what, I'm going to do this even if it gets hard. Because if I don't have that kind of stamina, then I'm going to be the seed that fell along the particular area where when the difficulties came, the testing came, I bailed. And don't be that kind of person. Because, again, everything falls back to sports. Sorry. I'm a sports fan at heart, so it just happens. But there have been so many teams that have been the lowest of seeds or been the underdogs. Anybody like to root for underdogs? Actually, it was this week, if anybody's paying attention to March Madness, the first time a one seed ever lost to a 16 seed. I mean, in fact, I think Virginia was ranked number one overall and lost to like a school that most people wouldn't even know. I don't even remember what the name of the school was. What's that? And you know why that happens? Because you end up with a handful of players on a team that decides, we're not giving up. We're going to beat this team. We can do this. Or the comeback stories where teams have been down by so many points that it's just not even feasible to think. Everybody else has turned off the TV because there's no way they can win. And there's enough guys on that team that decided, no, we're going to win this thing. And they accomplish things that seem impossible. If you're history buffs, there have been military feats that have been accomplished by armies, nations, way smaller than the attacking army, that there is no way they should win. But there were some guys that decided, we're going to win this thing. I don't care. They have thousands and thousands upon thousands. We're going to win because they decided that as long as there's life in our breath, we're going to keep trying. And if you have that kind of stamina, you're going to win. Doesn't matter how sick you get. It doesn't matter how many broken relationships you encounter. It doesn't matter how many times you fail and fall into sin and temptation. Because the Bible says that the righteous are those who fall seven times and yet they keep getting up. Because those are the one who wins. So if you found yourself beginning to win some victories in this thing and all of a sudden you found yourself now struggling, don't quit. Be the kind of person who decides that I am not out of this no matter what. I am going to keep moving forward. That's why I try to imagine, and when you're in the ministry, you hear a lot of sad stories. I try to imagine anything that could possibly happen to me in my life and decide, am I going to stick with it if something like that happens? Because we have to have the stamina of Job that doesn't matter if I lose my whole family, all my possessions, my health, I'm going to keep go, even having his wife tell him, curse God and die, give up, that he's going to keep on going. Those are the people who win. They win. And because it's hard to kick. I mean, think of Paul. You beat him till he was stoned to death and you think you win and he comes back. You throw him in jail and in a dungeon somewhere and he ends up converting the whole jail cell. Paul decided that he was going to win in every single circumstance he was. And because of that determination, that's how he won. You don't need to be a big guy. You don't need to be strong. You don't need to be a great orator. You don't need to know everything and be some super smart person. You don't need to be the most popular. You don't need to be the best dressed. You just need to be determined not to quit. So are we going to be able to realize this hero destiny that is within us? This potential that God has placed within us to be life changers if we make the right commitments to the Word, commitment despite challenges, commitment above self that brings ability, commitment above self. Verse 14 says, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. If it doesn't work to throw hardships your way, the enemy's going to throw something that you want more than to follow Christ. And so the enemy's going to bring some great opportunity along that's going to get in the way of your commitment to being in the body of Christ. The enemy's going to give you some great something to spend your money on rather than other things that you've had as higher priority. The enemy's going to make things good that's outside of this. That's why when Satan came in the garden, he said, this fruit is good. This is good fruit. God's only telling you not to eat it because he knows how great it is. He doesn't want you to have a good thing. And the enemy's going to come and he's going to try to prevent you. And this is why sometimes people come into the church and this is something we need to make sure we don't do. Do you ever find yourself, someone comes to us new into the body of Christ and we sit back and we think, wonder how long they're going to last. They're new. I wonder how long they're going to stick around. And people can pick up on that. Your expectations. They can sense your expectations. Have you ever sensed somebody's expectation that was unsaid? People can sense that person's not going to succeed, they're going to fail, they're going to fall back into that again, and they can sense that. And when you sense people's expectations, there's a drawing power in that makes us decide, oh, okay, well, if they don't expect any better of me, then children do that all the time. If they don't expect good behavior out of me, I'm going to be bad then because they expect me to be bad. And we have to guard against that. But there's a reason why we do that, because so many people bail on things when something else becomes more important. And I wonder what has become more important than being involved in the body of Christ and pursuing the kingdom of God. You find yourself struggling to study the word and spend time in prayer. Everybody has 24 hours in a day. Everybody does. The president of the United States does. Those who are CEOs of big companies and those who are retired and have all the time in the world on their hands. Everybody wakes up and has 24 hours in a day. So why is it that some can study the word and pray and some others cannot? It's because I've decided that I can fill my time with other things besides that. And we need to make sure that we guard against that so that we have the stamina to endure. The fourth commitment is this. Commitment to be open that results in accomplishment. Verse 15 says, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. An honest and good heart, a sincere heart, a heart that's real, that's willing to hear things out. It's hard when somebody points out a flaw of yours. Have you ever had someone point out a flaw of yours? Have you ever had someone point out a flaw of yours and you said, thank you, I'm so glad that you did that. It makes me feel all warm inside. Have you ever had that? You've never done that? Neither have I. Because it doesn't feel good when someone tells you that there's something wrong with you, even if it's true. And so there's something within our flesh that wants to respond to that and say, that's not true. I'm not like that. I never do that. Besides, who are you to say that? I've seen the things that you do, and you're worse than I am. And so we don't want to give it a second thought. But the person who is willing to hear criticism, even if it comes from an unkind approach, even if it comes from someone who's messed up themselves, but if there's truth to it, the person who's willing to hear it and say, you know what? I'm honest and sincere. I'm an open-hearted person. And that's true. I am messed up in that way, and I do need to change that. You know what happens to that person? They keep getting stronger, and they keep getting better because they're willing to let other people say negative things to them that are true. And as much as I would love to say that come to know Christ and it'll be a bed of roses, you'll never get sick, you'll never have any financial problems, and you'll just always feel joyful, and everybody will love you, and you'll just have the perfect life. That is true after you die. And it isn't a shame that we have to die to get there. Think about that. The thing that we're often sometimes afraid of, the thing that we have to get sick or ill or have something happen to our bodies to make us exit and depart from this earth, is the thing that's going to lead us to life. That's why Jesus said that the seed has to go in, or Paul said the seed has to go into the ground and die before it brings forth life. That's why James could say, rejoice in your trials and tribulations because they produce a good thing. And God wants you to know that hanging right in the midst of your despair, hanging right in the midst of your failure and your falls, in your heartache, in your pain, in your misery, right in the midst of that is life. Right in the midst of that is victory. Right in the midst of that is conquering. Right in the midst of that is this hero's destiny that is within you that is craving to be out because God has called us to be. That's why it says, I was reading this the other day, Ephesians 5 talks about the husbands and the wives and how Jesus is the husband to the church, and he comes and he washes the church with the washing of the water with his word. And you know why he does that? So that his church could be without spot or wrinkle, so that his church could be a glorious church. Not that we want to be somebody, but he wants you to be the glorious church. He wants you to be something amazing, something heroic, but we're never going to get there if every time we experience some kind of discomfort, we bail. Every time we find something more exciting, we bail. We have to decide that I will never quit. And I tell you, what would it look like? What would this neighborhood look like if we had 5 people that said, we will never quit? What if we had 12 that said, we will never quit? That's what happened in Acts chapter 2, isn't it? 12 apostles decided we will never quit, and they turned the whole Roman Empire upside down. That is waiting in the future, but only after we push through the trials and the tribulations. And are you willing to walk in those things? Would you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? What is keeping you from your victory, from winning the war? Because see, last week we learned that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but that this is a spiritual fight. That the fight you're fighting isn't going to result in necessarily all your physical infirmities being gone. Because if you hang your hope on that, you're going to find times that you are in despair. The fight that you're fighting is not attached to your wallet and your bank account. Because if you attach your hope on that, one day it'll be gone. The fight that you're fighting is not dependent upon some other person, because people will always let you down. But there is one person who will never let you down. The one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is Jesus Christ. And just like the very beginning of this journey, we'll relearn the enemy attempts to make us focus on this earthly life rather than the heavenly one. That is where our hope is. That is where our victory is. And that is the one thing that can never be taken away. But if you stop trying, you're not going to win. And some of you, you find yourself fighting a relationship battle that you've given up on. Well, then it's never going to come together then, if you stop trying. Some of you have found yourself wrestling with your physical issues. If you stop wrestling, you're not going to win. Some of you find yourself learning to grasp the call of God on us to advance the kingdom of God. And if you have a few days where things don't work out, and things don't go well, and people don't respond, that you allow that to be what takes you out, that you give up, you're never going to win people to Christ if you don't keep going. Because I think of it this way. We have a couple of our guys that do door-to-door in this neighborhood. And if there are three individuals in that neighborhood that have hearts that are open to receive Christ, they're not going to be found until they knock on the 800 doors before getting to those three. And those who have succeeded in life are those who have kept trying. Did you know some of the greatest success stories are those who failed hundreds of times before they succeeded? Because those who win are those who do not quit, because we want to win the war and not the battle. So if you're here today and you find yourself wrestling, struggling with the things that you find yourself in, God wants to help you be the kind of person who it doesn't matter what condition you find yourself in, what storm you might be in the midst of, but you're a person who still can rise above it. Even if the circumstances don't change, you will still wear the victor's crown. But what is standing in the way between you and that, between you and finding your destiny? Is it an absence of the Word of God in your life? Is it an absence of a willingness to accept the trials and tribulations that might come? Is it an absence of this ability to be open and let people speak into your life, even if it hurts? What is missing? Is it an absence of being selfless, of not caring about your own wants but the wants of others? And what is it that God is calling you to do? Is He calling you to commit? Is He calling you to repent? Is He calling you to seek strength and guidance? Whatever it might be. But the worship team is going to lead us for a few moments. I want to ask you, whatever He's asking you to do, seek Him and let Him breathe life into you. There, on Wednesday, we looked at a story in Peter's life, one of my favorite stories in his life. And that was at their calling, where they had been fishing all night long and hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus said, "Throw your nets back in the water." And Peter said, "We've been doing this all night long and we haven't caught anything. And this is the carpenter trying to give the fisherman advice here. He said, we've been doing this all night. We haven't caught a thing. And Peter said this line. I love this line. But because you said it, I'll do it. And if Jesus is calling you to do something that seems impossible, just do it. Just step out in faith and be committed. Be so determined. That's why Jesus knew that his mission, he came into this world to die on the cross. And so when Peter got in the way and said, no, you're not going there, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, because he knew the source of the temptation. I'm not getting distracted from my mission. And his mission was the most cruel despair that anybody has ever experienced imaginable. And yet he would not be deterred from going to that cross. Judas came into the picture and tried to throw in the things that he did. And it said that Satan filled his heart. The enemy was there working to distract. That's why Satan said to him, stand on the top of the pinnacle and throw yourself down. Turn these stones into bread. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Don't go to the cross. And you have victory waiting for you at the other end of defeat, at the other end of failure. And I was standing over there, and the Lord reminded me of Elijah, who had won a victory facing 400 prophets of Baal, said a prayer that I don't know if I would ever have had the confidence to pray. Say, God, send down fire from heaven to consume this sacrifice, and just believe God would do that. I could never imagine praying that prayer in front of hundreds of people. And he saw God send fire down from heaven. But you know what happened shortly after that? He found himself hiding in a cave somewhere in fear for his life, feeling like a failure, and saying, God, where are you? And God said, Elijah, you think you're the only one? I have 400 others out there who have not yet bowed their knee to Baal. And there's a lesson in that. Because somehow even in our victories we can find despair, but definitely in our losses. And I want you to get in that place where you decide you will not quit. Because if we get in that place, we're going to win. Don't you want to win? And so I want to know if you're with me with that. That I, no matter what comes our way, if we end up with difficulties and we lose people or we gain people, whatever happens, or we have a service where everybody's sick, that's not the funnest thing for a pastor on Wednesday to get text after text, I'm sick, I'm not coming, I'm sick, I'm not coming, I'm sick, I'm not coming. And that was this past Wednesday. But you know what? We live to fight another day. And that's what I always remind myself, especially if I fail in something, I always remind myself, I live to fight another day. And his grace is sufficient for me. And because of that, I'm going to win if I don't take myself out of the equation. Amen? So, Father, I thank you for these that are here. And I ask that you would move in their lives and that you would give them life and victory. Lord, though we seek you for deliverance because you tell us to, we seek you for healing because you tell us to, and we know that you are more than capable of doing all those things. We ask that no matter what we face, that you would help us to fight for the cause of Christ through all the valleys, through all the dark places, through all the despair and the hardships. May we be found constantly working upward to the call of heaven. Strengthen us, we ask. Build your church. We ask for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.